called the Manchester terrorist a loser. People are reacting to it today. I happen to like it. But more on that in a minute. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. 800-222-5222 if you want to be on the program. Also, I am checking my email. So Sam at SamNation.com is the place to find me. The loser now has a name. That's the biggest development since last night when we last spoke. And his name is Salman Abedi. He was 22 years old. He had family from Libya. He visited regularly in recent years. In fact, he had just gotten back from Libya, if you can believe this. There for about 3 weeks, came back, stayed here about a week, and then carried out this heinous attack. Do you know what his dad did? Nobody's talking about this. His dad was an airport worker. He had a job with security clearance at the airport. Let me tell you a little story here, and just humor me, if you will. This is funny because, so if my mother's listening, you know, her worst fears will have been confirmed. You fly into London. Have you ever done this? Have you flown into Heathrow? I mean, yes, you fly into Heathrow, and it's an enormous airport. Lots and lots of flights. I think it's perhaps one of the busiest airports in the world. And it does hold some distinction, or it did for a number of years, I think, total number of flights or whatever. I mean, it's an extremely busy airport, and there are a lot of people that work there. And I don't, you know, the impression I always have when I fly in and out of Heathrow is that it's just a mess. It's kind of the same thing at Charles de Gaulle in Paris. It's just a mess. And I will add one more thing. When you go to Heathrow, and I'm going to get some flack for this, but when you go to Heathrow, it is of the very image of a multicultural paradise. And I bring this up. I understand the parents are not responsible for the son's sins. But this is a family with extensive ties to Libya. Their son is on a terror watch list. And it just begets the question. What the heck? You've got a father who has access to an airport, which is, I would say, a pretty significant target if you're a terrorist, both for acts of terror and also for bringing in contraband to the country. And this is something you're just not allowed to say. Well, you're not allowed to look at it that way. You're supposed to fly into Heathrow and admire the great multicultural wonder that is Europe, that is Great Britain. And I'm telling you, it's an interesting thing. Because if you are, I don't know, if you as an individual are going to the movies, if you go to the movie theater and you're sitting there, you just bought your popcorn, the lights are still on, they're maybe playing some previews, and you look over, and there's a guy that looks suspicious, and I'll let you decide what looks suspicious means, but he's got a backpack, and he leaves the backpack, and he walks out of the movie theater. What are you going to do? Do you stay or do you go? It's a legitimate question, because I've been the guy who walks out of the movie theater. Because it's called Darwinism. It's self-protection. History favors people who know how to circle the wagons, who can think on their feet, who maybe overreact 99% of the time, but that 1% of the time when they've circled their wagons and they've identified a threat and acted to subvert it, they win. And the people who don't lose. My friends, this isn't a game. I mean, this is a fight. This is a fight to the death. It's a fight for survival. And the most interesting thing right now that is coming out of what happened last night are the reactions that so many of the politicians who begot this terrible position that Great Britain and a lot of Western Europe is in right now, by the way, which is in the last 40 years, have flung their doors open and out of very good, compassionate reasons. And I think some of the politics behind it, of course, there was an intent to maybe make Europe less homogenous, to bring in people. They needed bodies and birth rate was low. And they brought in a lot of people, many of them great people. Make no mistake about this. But these are all people, for the most part, when you're talking about North Africa and the Middle East, you're talking about people who come from a radically different world than us. And this is the thing that you're not allowed to say. Because you're supposed to say the narrative, what I was taught in school as a child of the 80s, is that we're all the same. Every culture is the same. You know, everything's great. You know, we're not a superior culture because we were raised. I was raised in the post-colonial era. The paradigm of my upbringing is that we're all, you know, created equal, which is, of course, true. And that there's this cultural parity among all of us, right? We're all equal. They do things differently. They eat a different type of food, but that doesn't make them better than us or worse than us. But the problem is that as a liberal society, we embrace certain values that are core constructs of our Western civilization. And these core values, my friends, are not compatible with many of the people that were imported from these parts of the world. The countries, the cities that have the most in percentages of these persons have the biggest problem. That's not racist. It's not Islamophobic. It's just a fact. And so I'm curious, shouldn't we now finally be talking about what the actual solution is here? Yeah, I was blown away. The mayor of Manchester, by the way, he's this guy, and I followed him before. He's a radical socialist and a huge anti-Islamophobia campaigner. And he's been politically engaged in all of Great Britain in this anti-extremism campaign. And he actually fought a program that would prevent extremism. It's called Prevent. And it's this thing that politicians in Great Britain were pushing around for a while. But he fought the anti-extremism program, saying it was too extreme because, and here's his quote, "It singles out one community for different treatment." Well, Andy is his name. Andy Burnham issued a statement after the tragedy. You know what it was? It was pretty simple. I think this was on Twitter. "We are grieving today, but we are strong." Andy, I got some news for you. You're not strong. You're not strong when you allow this to happen. You're not strong when you're not protecting your people. This is insanity. It is ignorant. And it will absolutely lead to more further and further acts of terror. I have to tell you what this, you know, as I thought about this whole thing, look. The responsibility for solving this problem, really, at the end of the day, it's not on us as Western civilization. The choice has to be, if we want to coexist, if we all as humans want to coexist, then the radicalism, right, the radicalism that exists in the Muslim world, who has to stand up to that? There has to be a response from moderate Muslims that say enough, enough is enough. there are parts of our religion that we cannot continue to tolerate or to sweep under the rug. There has to be some form of a legitimate examination and maybe even a reformation like many religions have as they evolve to meet the demands of modern life. Now, actually surprised that last night on CNN, Fareed Zakaria got so close to this, he actually might have nailed it completely on the head. Have a listen to what he said in response to the attacks and talking about terror generally.
This problem of radical Islamic terrorism emanates out of the heart of the Arab world, has been funded, fueled, encouraged by countries like Saudi Arabia. And let's hope that they can now finally turn a corner, finally disassociate themselves from a religious establishment that has encouraged this kind of violence, these kind of views about Westerners and any non-believers. But so far it hasn't happened, which is why you can shoot down, shut down one particular group, whether it's Al-Qaeda or ISIS. It keeps coming back. It keeps bopping back up. And why is that? Because the ideology continues to be spread, funded, financed, and encouraged. And that's where we have to fight the war.
He's absolutely right. And the ideology he's speaking of is radical, and I call it orthodox, but it's a radical view of Islam, where it's a pure reading of passages in the Quran that preach violence. And it's not our place. I don't know. What can we do? The answer is, right? The answer has to be a reckoning. And what we can do as a society is to get real with what the problem is. We should be interested to understand the motives of the people that are killing our children. You know, I saw the left very obsessed with the motives of Hillary Clinton and her email server. I mean, I heard about that for months. Well, her motives were pure. I mean, she didn't intend, right? She got let off the hook. Because her motives were pure. So fine, let us extend that and turn it around the other way. Aren't we interested to know why? And you can't just dismiss it and say it's radicalization. Because that word carries has big meaning. And the big meaning here is you had a kid who grew up in England. He grew up in the area, born and raised in Great Britain. And so what happened? It's a very common tale. Became disenchanted. He went to college, dropped out of college, started traveling back to Libya and Syria. Received some terror training, but in there, you know, this is part of the story that isn't coming out yet, but what is generally the case in these type of situations is the person becomes disaffected, usually a young person, and is looking for purpose. And that person looking for purpose turns to religion. And the reality is here, folks, if a person turns to religion and that happens to be a couple of Mormon missionaries on a street corner, what's the worst thing that's going to happen to him? The guy stops drinking. He stops being any fun. Just kidding. I can say that. But, you know, stops drinking, gives up 10% of his money to a tithe, starts doing lots of good works, might get a little self-righteous. I don't know. But in the grand scheme of things, he's going to live a clean life, be a good person, be a good father, be a good wife, whatever the case is. But what is this disaffected guy who's going to Syria talking to religious leaders? And they are, and they open up the holy book and they look at it and say, this is what they tell you. And your objective is to kill infidels. We got to get real. And as a father, I'll tell you, it's not just the fact that there were kids being pulled out of this arena and good Samaritans having to literally extract nails embedded in their flesh. It's that as a father, I understand that when I'm talking to my kids, sugarcoating stuff trying to use euphemism. It doesn't work. You got to give it to them straight. Like anything in life. And this is what bothers me so much about political correctness is that it removes the accurate language, free thinking, critical thinking, and instead replaces it with these lofty proclamations of wishes. I wish these things too. But it's not the reality that we live with here. That's certainly the case. General Mattis has a strategy, though. It's a military one. Did you hear about this? I'll play you the clip when we come back, right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Hey, you want another example of what I'm talking about here? Speaking of this liberal moron, Jean-Claude Juncker. This is the European Commission president. This guy spends half his time drunk. He's the guy who staggers in and out of official meetings. Here is his statement that he issued after the atrocity yesterday. Listen to this. I have it here. I want you to listen. Okay, good. Once again, I'm quoting this, and I'm not going to do this with some sort of weird accent. I want you to get it straight. Once again, terrorism has sought to instill fear where there should be joy, to sow division where young people and families should be coming together in celebration. Well, President Juncker, terrorism didn't seek to instill fear. It instilled fear. The children screaming, running out of that arena were scared to death. I know it's a little bit challenging for these European bureaucrats, living behind their walled mansions, driven in police convoys, having a, 10 member personal security details to imagine what it's like living as a regular human being that lives in fear of getting blown to bits. There's no condemnation here. There's no firm stance. This is the most mealy-mouthed, limp, you-know-what statement that any politician could ever give. And it's because the left in Europe lives in fear of saying one wrong or cross word when it comes to Islam. It is unbelievable. No condemnation. None. Honestly, even Obama as president wouldn't have said something this ridiculously pathetic. You know, you're probably wondering in all of this, because this story has now overshadowed Trump's highly successful trip to the Middle East. He's in Rome today. He left this morning. He left Israel. Was escorted to the tarmac up to Air Force One. By Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. By all accounts, had a very successful trip, met with Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority. And of course, before that, as I had talked about a little bit yesterday, had been in Saudi Arabia. You know Meghan McCain, right? No great fan of Trump. See, now this is an example. I want to play this clip for you because you'll start to understand that while the libs are all excited about what's going on Capitol Hill, and I am going to talk about that here in a minute after the break here, I will bring you up to speed on what's been going on back home in Washington. But you understand that it's easy with all the talk of what Trump did or did not do, or with whom he did or did not collude. And of course the attack to lose track of what he's been doing in the Middle East. And that is he showed up and basically laid it down. I played some clips for you yesterday, but Meghan McCain, no fan of the Trumpster, as you well know, this is the daughter of one Senator John McCain. And here I couldn't believe my ears. I was watching Fox News this morning. And this is what she said about Trump.
President Obama said the greatest existential threat to the world was climate change. We have President Trump going to Saudi Arabia and begging the Middle East to stop enabling terrorism. If that's not a juxtaposition for you, I don't know what else is. I've had my issues with President Trump. Everyone knows that. It's days like today when I am so deeply glad that he is our president and no one on the left continues to be, because I do think ISIS has raged out of control because we have led from behind for the past 8 years.
Yeah, that's it. You know, they were talking about how he called the terrorist a loser, and there was somebody on the panel, I forget who was kind of poo-pooing it, saying, yeah, you know, this is typical. And she goes, no, there was substance behind it. There's substance to this trip. He goes, he sees the Saudis, he's very gracious, okay? For all you that think that he's a giant oaf, very gracious, polished even. But the message was right between the eyes. It's up to you to fix this problem. You have to take care of your radicalization problem. You must fix it. And that is my point with all of this exactly. Not much you and I can do about this. It's something that has to change in this community from within. All right. We'll talk about Brennan up next. We got John Wolfe with the news, and I'll be back after that.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222. If you want to be on the program, also my email, sam@samnation.com. We're not alone. Producer Robbie here just sent me, looks like a Facebook post from Morrissey. And looks like Morrissey's on Team Sam Nation with this, like, whole logic thing when it comes to Islam. So this is the best part of his post. Remember I was telling you about the Manchester mayor, Andy Burnham? I told you he was very preoccupied with anti-Islamophobia. That's kind of been his driving ideology throughout his tenure. Well, here's just the quick quote from what Morrissey wrote on his official Facebook page. Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham says the attack is the work of an extremist. An extreme what? An extreme rabbit? It's a good point. Speaking of rabbits, the Democrats, how's this for a segue? The Democrats are trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat. It's not a Muslim rabbit, just garden variety political rabbit that they're hoping to sick the Trumpster with. And they've trotted out poor old John Brennan. Okay, now he's the former director of the CIA under Obama. And you know what mystifies me? Let me share this with you. Everywhere in the news, if you look at the mainstream media and you're reading accounts of John Brennan's testimony, everywhere it is, he has this, I don't know, it's presumption of independent, knowledgeable, statesmanlike authority and credibility. You know, you would think he was, I don't know, some sort of an independent arbiter or a judge, perhaps, who is above the political fray. But I just want to remind everybody for a second, humor me here, that Brennan was, he worked on Obama's transition team. I mean, he's not just some guy who's a faithful, you know, servant of the public good, toiling for years at the agency. He is an ideologue. He was, you don't work on a Trump, you know, look, all the people that are being accused of colluding with Russia that worked on the Trump transition team, what's the premise of that argument? Yeah, that they're all ideologues, that they're all, you know, Trump, win, 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 and, you know, screw Hillary, and we're going to go, if it means getting in bed with Vlad, we're going to do it. And then we just turn right over here, you know, turn left, You look at John Brennan testifying, and it's all, former CIA director. This is, I mean, he worked on the very transition team that colluded with Iran, for Pete's sake, and subverted actual U.S. policy when Obama wasn't even the president-elect back in 2008. And I want to talk about Logan Act. There you go. So that's the first thing you got to know. When you're looking at all of this, you've got to understand that Brennan is ideologically devoted to the swamp from which he came. And especially if you take the swamp and you give it like a, I don't know, a subdivision, a zip code that starts with the letters DNC, that's where he is from. And you have to do this. You have to do this when you're looking at a Republican. You got to figure out what shade of a Republican he is or she is. This is what you do. This is critical. You don't just accept sources. So when we come back, I'll play you at least a clip here. So you get a flavor of what this testimony was like. Because they tried, believe me, they tried to pull it out of him. They tried to get it, and I'll let you know how far they got when we come back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
All right, let's imagine that you got into a car accident, and you got another lawyer, and that lawyer is not Sweet James. In fact, it's somebody who's not sweet at all, and they're not doing anything on your case. They're not calling you back. They're not talking to you. This happens all the time. You get a lawyer that just takes your case and then forgets about you. Is it too late to change? And the answer is no. Call Sweet James Bergner. That's what you got to do. Just because you picked the wrong guy doesn't mean you can't make a change, right? Got to be like Trump. You know, Corey Lewandowski was good in the first quarter, but then you had to move on, get some new people in there, right? So that's the same thing with your case. It's never too late to get the right lawyer. So how do you do that? It's easy. You just call him. You call James and you talk to him to get the lowdown on your case. Tell him what's going on. And then he'll worry about breaking up with your other lawyer. That's the best thing about it. You know, you don't have to make an awkward breakup phone call. It's not you. It's me. None of that. Call James. He'll send him a letter. Make sure they never call you again. He'll take your file. He'll work on everything. And he'll get you the result that you need. Okay? All right. 800-222. Oh, my gosh. I've got it all wrong. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. That's the right number. Thank you, Sam. Also, his website, sweetjames.com. Check him out there. All right. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, back behind the microphone here, rounding out the fastest hour in radio. This is we're just screaming through this. There's another Brennan clip here that I thought, because the Adam Schiff, who you know is the Democrat from California, congressman, and the intrepid anti-Trump crusader. And Mr. Schiff... That's right. He was shifting into high gear, trying to get some anything. Brennan, please give me something I can hang my hat on for the love of God. And so here's the exchange with him related to the Comey and Flynn investigation. Have a listen.
With respect to a number of the allegations that have been made recently that the president or his aides may have sought to enlist the help of members of the IC or Director Comey himself to drop the Flynn investigation. Have any members of the IC shared with you their concerns that the president was attempting to enlist the help of people within the intelligence community to drop the Flynn investigation?
No, sir.
Are you aware of any efforts the president has made to enlist the support of intelligence community personnel to push back on a narrative involving the collusion issue that Mr. Rooney was asking about?
I am unaware of it.
Well, that didn't go anywhere. You got to think right now, if you're the Dems, you're getting extra sweaty. And I remember when I told you that the effect, I have to pull this out, pardon the paper rustling. Remember I told you that the appointment of a special counsel, of the special prosecutor, would have a chilling effect on witnesses? Jason Chaffetz tweeted this out, and I intended to talk about this yesterday, but other things came up. Here's his tweet. Spoke with Comey. He wants to speak with special counsel prior to public testimony, hearing Wednesday postponed. What'd I tell you? So you got to listen to me. I know what I'm talking about here. Chilling effect. Now, speaking of chilling effect, you know, I told you a little earlier in the program that Trump and his Secretary of Defense, Mad Dog Mattis, has a new strategy on ISIS that might just be the right military answer. I mean, if we're thinking about tackling the ideology, right, that's one thing. But there's still a ground battle that needs to be fought. And I'm a big believer in if you don't have territory, if you're a terrorist group with no land, you're far more vulnerable and far less likely to organize. So here's, you know what Mattis's pitch is? His plan, right? It consists of totally the opposite thing of what Obama was doing. So fighting a war of, Obama fought a war of attrition. Go in there and fight conventional, you know, just battle it out for territory. And push them up and out. Well, Mattis says, screw that. Oh, we're going to do, we're going to circle them and just start pinching them and killing them one by one and make sure that none of them escape. Remember yesterday I told you 400 returned ISIS fighters confirmed to be living in Great Britain? No wonder Great Britain is on high alert right now. I got 5,000 troops in the street worried when the next shoe's going to drop. Gosh. All right. We're going to be back here tomorrow night at 7, as per usual, inflaming your liberal sensitivities. Over and out.
Talk radio. 790. KABC.